You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And hey, Simo, I don't know about you, but I've never really been a big believer in these, you know, bad luck superstitions, like don't walk under a ladder.
Black cat, cross your path.
Yeah, black, don't open an umbrella indoors is another one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Don't whistle in a theatre.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it is. I know it sounds like something I made up, but I promise you it's true.
What if you're one of the actors on stage and your lines involve you whistling?
I don't know. Because also you're not supposed to say the name of the Scottish play or forever bring terrible luck upon you.
Oh, yeah, the Scottish play, Macbeth.
Yeah.
That one.
Yep. Macboo.
Well, Simo, something happened to me yesterday, which kind of, I'm still in the I don't believe this is a real case, but it kind of, it pulled me more towards the side of maybe this is real.
Okay.
So, Simo, it involves the don't walk under a ladder superstition.
Yep.
In the office, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but just in front of the printer, there is a ladder, which has been, there's no one like climbed up the ladder. There's no one doing work or anything like that. That just happens to be where they have stored the ladder.
Yeah, no, there's a nice little spot there for it.
I happened to be yesterday printing off some documents at the aforementioned printer. And to get them, you kind of have to sort of lean underneath and kind of put your arm through one of the holes in the ladder where your feet go, if that makes sense.
Okay, so you're not actually walking under it per se.
You're not walking under it, but okay. You're definitely leaning underneath it. Your body is underneath the arch, the frame of the ladder. Simo, yesterday as I leant through, for some reason, you know, you just have these random thoughts of like, oh no, this is bad luck, I'm underneath the ladder. Okay, keep an eye out for bad luck today.
Yeah.
As soon as I reached the documents, I grabbed them, I started to move away from the ladder.
Yeah.
Somehow the fly on my jeans had got caught on a little kind of hook that was off, that was like hanging off the ladder.
Yeah. Okay.
So I kind of leaned up against it. In doing so, I'd kind of brushed up against the ladder.
So you got snagged.
Yeah. In a very unfortunate area.
Yeah, right. Okay.
As I kind of led backwards to walk away, my feet went backwards, my head and arms went backwards.
All right.
But the fly of my jeans, my crutch, was still in contact with the ladder. It was a very, I kind of, the first thing I did was have a look to make sure that no one else was around, because this is a hard one to explain.
So you didn't need help to be caught, unsnagged?
Well, look, I managed to unsnag myself after a while, but there was a good 15, 20 seconds of me just with my, what looked like having my
connected to
crutch up against the ladder.
Yeah.
And just kind of connecting, unable to free myself after the little, I think it was something to do with the little zipper got caught.
Yeah, okay.
It's like one of those things, you know, you put your headphones in your pocket perfectly wrapped, you take them out 10 minutes later and then it'll take you 10 years to unwrap them. It was like that. It was one of these pure flukes that it just had somehow managed to get caught on like a little a little hook kind of thing.
They do get caught on stuff. Sleeping bags, notoriously difficult with the whole zip scenario. So how are they, by the way? Are they ruined or what's the go?
Are the jeans?
Yeah.
No, they're fine. I'm wearing the same jeans again today.
Okay.
So no, they are fine. I was able to unhook myself. But I was kind of thinking, like, was that the bad luck? I mean, I didn't walk all the way through underneath the ladder.
Yeah.
But I was certainly under a ladder for a short period of time. Maybe, you know, instant bad luck having that embarrassing situation that someone could have walked by and said, what is on earth is Jordan doing?
I've been looking at all of the history of walking under a ladder. There is some wild stuff in there, Jordan.
What do you mean? What do you mean history of walking under a ladder?
So, like, how it came to be known as bad luck.
Okay.
Do you want to know the, like, the one that really stands out to me?
I don't know. Was it someone who went to get printing and then got their pants caught on the ladder and then had 100 years of bad luck? Because if that's the case, no, I don't want to hear it.
Because I always just assumed it was just a simple issue of someone painting. Because when you paint a wall, paint, it's like cooking with oil. It goes everywhere. It's like, you know.
How do you cook?
Well, like, it sprays everywhere. If you're cooking with oil, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have to clean the stove after.
Okay, yeah.
Similar to when you're using a ladder to paint, most sane people put down a tarp. You with me?
Yeah.
So, of course, you're not going to walk under a ladder because you're going to get covered in paint.
Just got an image of you cooking at home. All right, fry an egg, lay down the tarp.
Yeah, I'm going to need my overalls for this.
So what's the origin? Where did it come from?
Okay, so stick with me. The ladder is a triangle.
Okay, so far I'm with you.
Okay, so this comes from Christianity where there's the Holy Trinity.
Okay.
Right? And then by walking through the triangle object, you are breaking the Holy Trinity.
Right.
So there comes about the bad luck through down the ages.
Okay.
How insane.
Is that the same with the umbrella and the black cat?
Not sure about. I can tell you also why whistling in a theatre is bad.
Go on.
So whistling in a theatre, never do it because that is how the, like, that's how the stagehands in the 1800s or whatever,
yeah,
could work out what setting pieces were coming down from the roof or from the side of the wings.
Okay.
So if you whistle, that was the sign that you had to bring something on stage.
Oh, okay.
So if you're just absent-mindedly, innocently whistling.
Happened to be on the stage, the show's not on just yeah. before, you know, the audience is coming in or whatever, you're just whistling and all of a sudden like a piano or something lands on your head.
Cop a piano to the face.
Simo and Jordan.
Jordan, you're a very passionate cook.
Yes, I'd say so.
In that, what I always typically check in with you, what you had for dinner last night.
Mm-hmm.
What did you get up to? What was it?
Well, normally when you check in with me about what I had for dinner last night, it's kind of as... Okay, so this is going to let you in on a secret, but normally during the song, Simo will just... yeah. I might be on my phone or something, and Simo will be just, so what did you have for dinner last night?
Just asking dumb questions.
Just like out of the blue.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I have to remember, I'm like, was it takeaway or a roast chicken from the supermarket? It's one of those options.
This is literally, 10 hours ago?
Yeah, but I've slept.
Okay, well, yeah. All right, so what did you have before you had the blissful death for 8 hours? What did you get up to?
Better known as sleep. last night was a supermarket roast
Ooh,
chicken.
Ooh, did you add some other things or was it just, surely you get fusion involved?
No, I just ate the chicken with my hands like the matter. No, I had that and some salad as well.
Oh, what was in the salad? Was it?
Why are you questioning me?
I'm just.
Just let it was came out of a bag. It was just okay. Lettuce and stuff.
So you didn't have to use any appliances?
No.
No appliances at all?
Actually, no. I mean, I had a plate and a knife and fork, but I don't think they count as appliances.
No, it's not exactly. When was the last time you had to use an appliance?
I don't know. Last night as well, because I had some toast as well.
Oh, there you go, toaster. Yeah. Okay, nice. Yeah, I tend to use appliances a fair bit. Big on the stove and the pots and pans.
I don't mean to. I don't mean to brag. But you know, some I use appliances a fair bit.
Yeah, well, I don't know because are appliances really the things? Maybe it's not technically an appliance, a stove, if it's gas.
Well, look, we'll tick it off as an appliance.
Because I assume maybe an appliance refers to the fact it needs power, like PowerPoint.
Right. Yeah.
When the power goes out, I can still cook with gas.
Look, you're asking me many questions that I don't know the answer to, nor, to be honest with you, don't really care.
Well, here's a question you will have an answer to.
Okay.
So if you are going to heat something up, what do you use?
Well, I mean, it depends on what the thing is I'm heating up.
What are your options?
For someone that uses appliances a lot, you don't really know what they are.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the microwave is a go-to.
I'm so glad you brought up the microwave.
Okay.
Because I'm just... Now, we're now going to cross to celebrity chef / food judge / what else is she, really?
Who?
TV superstar Nigella Lawson.
Oh, do we have Nigella on the line?
We do. Well, not on the line, but here she is just with a quick mention of a microwave.
Okay.
But I still need a bit of milk, full fat, which I've warmed in the microwave.
The microwave.
The microwave.
Wow.
I think she's got one from France.
That is marketing. Does Nigella, has she brought out a brand of microwaves that she's trying to sell and as if they're upmarket? No, they're not microwaves. They're microwaves.
Microwave.
No, this frozen meal, it's not in the microwave. Oh, you pop it in the microwave.
Yeah.
Has she been saying microwave wrong all of her life?
I don't know. I saw that and I was like, what? This just in, she probably pronounces guave as guave.
Gotta imagine if she has to put a guava in the microwave. her next recipe, her next TV show, and you just get the guave and put it in the microwave. People are like, Nigella, what on earth are you talking about?
Yeah, look, 2020's unraveled most of us. But I think
2020's had an impact on all of us. For celebrity chef Nigella Lawson, she can't pronounce appliances.
Now I want to get a microwave from France.
What is it next time she makes a cup of tea or something? It's like, and you just boil the water in the kettle.
Shall we have it again?
Go on.
But I still need a bit of milk, full fat, which I've warmed in the microwave.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And hey, Simo, Google have revealed the most searched things in 2020.
Oh, hell. Okay.
I have a list of them here.
Mm.
Do you want to have a guess? Have a guess of the most overall Google search. So the thing that was searched the most for the 12 months that was 2020, just in Australia.
I assume it's COVID related.
You know what?
It's not.
It's not.
Hmm.
I would have thought so too.
Okay.
But the most Googled thing in Australia for 2020 has nothing to do with COVID.
Oh, nothing to do with it. Is it a recipe?
No.
Okay. Hmm. Is it maybe like pancakes or something?
It's a big, no, it's not pancakes.
I think that's just maybe what I want right now.
I bet you're fair. I would Google that as well.
Yeah.
It's a big news event that happened during the year, if that makes it any easier.
A big news event.
Yes.
That wasn't COVID related.
Yes, believe it or not, there was another one.
Oh, DJ Trump?
Yes.
Oh, he always trends. How did I not get that? Of course.
The overall most Googled thing in Australia for the year of 2020 was people Googling about the US election.
Oh, yeah.
COVID came in second, followed by the NBA in third.
Yeah, right.
Zoom in fourth, and then coronavirus symptoms in five. So people are more worried about the basketball than COVID symptoms.
DJ Trumpy Babes be so pleased with himself that he's outshone. He's out-trended. He's more catchy than coronavirus, effectively.
Which, yes, I don't know which one's worse.
I don't know. That's not good branding, but it's the truth.
But, Samara, as well as Google revealing the top... So that was the top overall thing, the number one most searched thing in Australia for 2020.
Hmm.
They have also broken it down into various categories. So they've got the most Googled recipes and the most Googled political people.
Okay.
So do you want to have a guess at some of these other things?
So pancakes wasn't on the recipe list?
We'll start off with recipes. Okay. Pancakes, no, it was not on the top 10 Googled
it's
recipes.
It's going to be baked goods because everyone got into baking during COVID-19. So, banana bread?
Banana bread is on the list, but it comes
Thank
in as
you.
Ninth.
Yeah, but it's in there.
It comes That's... in as ninth. It's not number one, but it's in the top 10.
Just bread full stop?
You know what, I'll give you that. It's technically sourdough bread, but that's number two. I'll give you that.
Nice.
Because to be honest, I don't know what the difference is between sourdough and normal.
Well, one's, I don't know. I was going to say one's sourdough and one's not, but...
No, so the number one most Googled recipe was people trying to Google how to make their own hand sanitizer.
Oh, really?
Which I don't recommend doing because there's alcohol and stuff involved and that can
High
go...
High percentage of it, yeah.
...badly. But that was what people Googled. What was the most Googled goods and giving? So people wanting to find presents.
Oh.
So what was the most Googled thing about people wanting to buy stuff?
Geez. Hand sanitizer.
No. But you're on the right track. It's coronavirus. Oh, and what else was there a bit of a shortage?
People are gifting COVID-19?
No, sorry, not gifting, just buying online. Sorry.
Purchasing online?
Yeah.
Oh, masks.
No. What else?
Face shields.
What else was there a shortage of?
Ah, hell.
At the start of the pandemic.
Oh, toilet paper.
Yay!
Nice.
Number one most Googled thing, where can I buy toilet paper online?
Classic. Are they offering certain designs now as well? Christmas. Actually, we got some here, don't we?
What?
In the building.
We have some what?
Christmas-themed toilet paper.
Oh, I was going to say. Yeah, I thought you were going to say, yeah, we've got some toilet paper in the building. I'm like, don't say that 6 months ago.
Nothing better than wiping your ass with Christmas.
Okay.
Simo and Jordan.
And a 26-year-old woman named Gertrude. What a name.
I know, what a name. For a 26-year-old?
Yeah.
No offense to Gertrudes, but you don't really expect Gertrudes to be 26.
Yeah, I don't know. How would you... Could you nickname her? Gert, maybe?
And well, then it just seems like you're a fan of the Australian National Anthem.
Oh, Gert by Sea, yeah.
Because that's the only time anyone ever uses the word Gert.
Well, that means branding-wise, you know, her Instagram handle...
Yeah.
No one else? No other Gerts out there?
Gert by Gertrude. Actually, no, that sounds like a perfume for Christmas. Gert by Gertrude.
So she's hit international news for allegedly taking her boyfriend to court because he, and I quote, wasted her time by failing to propose after an 8-year relationship.
Okay.
Gertrude decided to take him to court as a way of forcing his hand.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Herbert.
Gert, okay.
Gert
Gertrude and Herbert, they're meant to be.
Yeah. I assume that's why she's taking him to court, because really there's no one else for her.
So hang on. So let me get this straight. It's not like, it doesn't sound like the relationship ended. It's just like they're still happy together, but she wants to get married. He's saying no. And then she's like, oh, well, I'm going to sue you.
Yeah. So he's 28.
Mm-hmm.
I have got a transcript of the court case if you'd like a little bit.
Oh, I mean, the court case is normally kind of boring, but I mean, yeah, if this is entertaining, go for it.
Your Honour, he has never been serious. That is why I brought him to court, because I deserve to know the way forward and my future with him, Gertrude reportedly told the court, adding that she also suspects that Herbert has been cheating after discovering his texts with another woman.
Oh, okay, so maybe the relationship has gone a little bit sour.
Mm.
Do we know the end result? What did the judge decide on?
Herbert said no, that wasn't the case, and that he just can't afford it right now.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be honest, though. If this kind of thing has reached the courts, they're going to be flooded with these kind of issues.
Look, I mean, if this case has reached the court, there's probably not much chance that it's going to end up in a happy relationship. There's very few people who leave court happy and married to the person who just sued them.
The judge considered the case and said that there seems to be a lack of communication between the two. He's done well there.
That law degree coming in handy.
Oh, dear. So after hearing both testimonies, the magistrate said there was nothing the court could do because there was no marriage, and advised that maybe they get married and then she could come back and then sue him for a breach of, something or other.
I don't think Hubert's going to get married if that's the case. The judge is like, yeah, get married and then you can sue. And she turns around to Hubert. Do you want to get married? He's not going to say yes.
No, you'd have to be, mad for it.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's all happening at the moment.
I really hope that this is like an episode of Judge Judy that is coming out soon. Mm. Because what an episode it would be.
Yeah, I think obviously there's some other contributing factors in that this happened in Namibia.
Okay.
And there were some goats. I think there were some livestock purchased as well in the agreement that marriage would occur at some point.
Okay. So, now that's, yeah.
So some goats were bought and sold 8 years ago with an agreement to marry off Gertrude, and it just hasn't quite happened yet.
Highly unlikely that Judge Judy is going to move her entire courtroom from Los Angeles or wherever it is in America to Namibia.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, This is a bit awkward, okay.
Oh, here we go again. All right, what's awkward about it?
Well, it's not awkward about it. We've got one talk break left to do, I've got two stories, and I can't work out which one.
All right. Pick one.
Would be best to do.
Right hand.
I tell you what I'll do. Okay. So that is story one in my right hand. That is story two.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
If you win, we'll do story two. If I win, we'll do story one.
All right.
Okay,
all right.
You ready?
Yeah.
Rock, paper. Oh, hang on. Just quickly. What year were you born again?
91.
Okay, 91. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, this is like some kind of...
Okay, rock, paper, scissors. Okay, we both came with rock, so I'll do it again. Rock, paper, scissors. We both did rock again.
Yeah, okay, so this is...
Third time lucky?
I'm aware of what this may be, yep.
Rock, paper, scissors. Yes! You went scissors! I went rock!
Dear.
I won!
Classic. So...
Okay, now I can come clean. Simo, there is no two stories. That was a complete fabrication. Yeah.
Come on.
This was my plan all along.
Yes.
I found this piece of audio online yesterday.
Mm.
This will make everything make sense.
Yeah, because I know this. The whole rock scenario.
This will make everyone make sense.
Okay. Hold up. Here we go.
How to always win rock, paper, scissors. Warning, this will make you very powerful. So halfway through saying rock, paper, scissors, stop the game. Then ask your opponent a personal question, such as, when were you born? Now the opponent will throw scissors as a subconscious defense mechanism. All you have to do is throw rock to win.
And you did. Admittedly, we had two dead heats where we both did rock.
Yeah.
But on the third time, it came true.
That's it.
His prediction came true, and that is how you can win rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, well, because... Third time, the rule of three is what I tried to play on you. I tried to reverse it.
So, Intense rock, paper, scissors. How many tactics are you? Because I didn't. Because it's rock, paper, scissors. How are you applying tactics on? I was implying tactics on the thought that you didn't. There was no other tactics, and you're out there trying to out tactic me.
Yeah. So it's
playing rock, paper, scissors, and it didn't work.
It's pretty typical of people that play a lot. Will always go rock.
Professional rock, paper, scissors.
Rock. Well, no, it's just more. It's more likely that people will always choose rock.
Mm.
So, and then once you get caught in a vortex where you're both playing rocks, it's whoever blinks first.
Mm-hmm.
So I was backing you to double down and try to beat me on the third rock.
I was tempted. To be brutally honest, I was, as we were doing the kind of one, two, three, go, I was thinking, do I change it to paper? But I'm like, no, for the video, let's I'll stick with rock. So if it wasn't for that, I would have changed.
Yeah, a prime example is I have more risky behaviours than you. So, like, I took more.
Simo goes bungee jumping more than me.
That's what that rock, paper, scissors game means, because I risked the loss to win, whereas you didn't risk anything in order to win.
And Simo, guess what?
You won.
You lost!
You won. Yes, you won.
And now I am a rock, paper, scissors god.
Yeah, that's it. But you'll never risk anything in life, Jordan.
But I'll be a rock, paper, scissors god.
Yeah, that's it.
Actually, what would have happened if you just went paper? Because then I wouldn't have risked anything and I would have lost.
Yeah, but the thing is,
that's a real double whammy. Lost and you didn't risk anything, you loser.
That's it.
Simo would have laughed a lot.
So, yeah, you would have. It's a great little psychological practice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Enjoyable.
Simo?
Yep.
Fancy another game of rock, paper, scissors?
No, because now you already have the ascendancy, so I can't actually.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah. I'm reigning rock, paper, scissors champion. Yeah. I might just retire now. I will never play a game of rock, paper, scissors ever again.
So purely on the stats, I would need to beat you twice in order to get back. Mm-hmm. So it's better to live. It's better to live having lost once than potentially double down. It's like gambling.
Yeah.
You know, don't keep going into, I don't want to be further indebted to you.
Fair enough. I mean, but as of now, you are indebted to me.
Because I need to play twice in order to get ahead. I play once, I've only broken even. It's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not worth it for me. I'm officially announcing my retirement as a rock, paper, scissors champion.
Statistically, gamble big the first time, then never again.
I don't think we should say that.
No, do it responsibly.
If you're playing rock, paper, scissors, play rock, paper, scissors big the first time.
And then never play again.
And then hope there's not two dead heats. And then if there is, then never do it again.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah. That should do it.